we go.
I brought my handout.
I don't need it today. We're on Rambam Hilchos Shmini, Sof Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 7, Law 12. We're talking about bringing the Minchas HaOmer barley offering. We talked about how it got all cut up the night before. That was yesterday's discussion. So we're at the night, the first night of Chol HaMoed Pesach, the night of the 16th of Nisan.
And they went through all the details.
They cut down the barley stalks. So now what happens afterwards, Yud Beis, we continue with the processing of the barley offering. Kitzaruhu, they harvest it, unisanu bekupos, they put it in baskets. Vaviyom la'azora, and they bring it to the Azora that night. It's in the Azora. Vechavtua, and they threshed it. Vizorin, and they winnowed it. Uvorim, and they selected it. Velokhin asasahorim, and they take the barley kernels. Umahavavim oso ba'ur, and they singe them to a flame. With what are they held in? Be'avus minukov, with a sort of a strainer, a reed that has holes in it, so that the fire, kideshia esholet bakulam, so that the fire is able to scorch all, every bit of the kernels of barley. And why do we know this? Shinara, the pasuk says, aviv, this grain should be aviv, ripe, kolui, roasted by Asian fire. Geres karmel, ground and moist. Aha! Now, what's that talking about? Mipi Shmuel, do the rabbis tell us it means she'e medaber elba minchas ha'omer bovad. It's talking about the barley offering, the minchas ha'omer. That has to have this status.
Tastes better
okay.
This way, I guess.
It's fresher,
nobody's
tastier, robust, robust. It's not, but it's more presentable. You'll see in a minute. So after it's been roasted, you spread it out in the Azara. Remember, how many pounds is this?
There's a lot. Really.
If 43 and a fifth eggs is 5 pounds, yes. And this is 10 times, 50 pounds of barley seeds.
When you spread it
barley
on the floor,
on the Azara.
Like spread, just on the ground?
Spread out.
The stone
floor. Ruach min ha-shevis, when the wind blows on it, so it dries up. And it's all ready to go. Then, this is all done at night. It was a busy night.
It's a windy night.
Dinostinosolarechaim shel grossos. They put it in a grinder that normally grinds legumes. Vitochanim, and you grind it up. Eshasholosh se'in, these three saw, which is 50 pounds of barley grain.
Just spreading it out to dry it out, but it's at night, you said.
I know, we've already collected it, now we're grinding it. We're moving ahead, Howard.
No, but you spread it out during the day or at night?
At night. This is all at night. Pay attention.
So is there a next day where it dries out in the sun?
No.
We've already collected it after we
dried
it out.
Everything is at night. It's all night.
Why spread it out? I don't understand.
To get it to dry off from after being heated in the thing, to get it to dry. We've got a little moist, it gets to dry off. Umotzin es min hakol, and now we extract from all that isaron, one isaron. Shehu menupa bishloshes reinafa, that's been sifted with 13 strainers, each one more refined than the other. You pick the best isaron. Remember, 1/10 of all those kernels become the choicest barley flour.
Is this the smallest kernel?
Howard, you're asking too many questions. You've already exceeded the two-question limit.
These sifters. I'm trying to
understand these sifters. Nifta. And the rest is redeemed. You got 9 esronim of pretty good flour. V'nechol lechol adam. And anybody can eat it.
Who's eating barley flour?
Anybody. If you want to eat it, whatever's left over, you can do it. Because, we'll see, because it's really not holy anymore. It's been redeemed.
Oh, yes.
Right? It was gathered for the Beis Hamikdash, but it's redeemed. But since it's been redeemed, v'chaya b'chalav. So anybody who buys those 45 pounds of barley flour, and you're going to want to make a barley bread, it's a good, memento. There was something that was in the Azara. So it has, special, and you want to have it, but you got to separate challah because it's your bread. It has to be separated. But on the other hand, an interesting split. Upatr min ha-maisers. We don't have to give maiser from this. Why do you not have to give maiser? Because maiser is only chayiv after you've winnowed it. When it was winnowed, it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. So when it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no obligation to give maisers on it. Now that it's been redeemed, It's been post-winnowed, so now that you bought it, so to speak, from the Beis HaMikdash, since the Beis HaMikdash was excused from giving Meiser, so you don't have to give Meiser. Kamosh and I have already explained. So there, I'm sure there were takers, because it was involved in the, it was in the running to become the Minchas Omer, so I'm sure some people felt it had a certain degree of specialness to it. Okay, now, so we got rid of the extras. Now we got this Isaron of the best, most refined barley flour. Velochin say Isaron shall solas Asaron. You take this Isaron, which is 43rd and 1/5 eggs, right, volume of refined barley flour. Ubol naso belog shemen. You mix it with one log of shemen, which is how many ounces, approximately?
A whole log
16 ounces of oil. And when did this all happen? When now? When did the mixturing happen? Everything was done at night, but now it's ready in the day. So now, b'shisha sor b'nisan, on the 16th of Nisan, in the day, you now mix it.
How do we know it says in the day?
I'm assuming it is. But you'll see, unoistin alav kaimets lavani, put a kaimets on it, kishar menachos, like every menachos. Because now you're doing avoda with it now. So the avoda, you have to do it in the day. You may nipol, and now you're going to wave this offering. And where will the waving take place? B'mizrach, on the eastern side of the Azorah, east of the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the Shara Nicanor. And now how did the waving take place? Molich, you'd extend it out. Umevi, and bring it back. Mala, you lift it up. Umorid, and bring it down. That was the waving. Next step, umagisho, and then you bring it close. Kineged Huda, opposite the kitty corner of the Karen Maravis Dromis Kisharmanach, the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, like all Menachos were brought to the southwest Mizbeach. That was the entire Isaron, together with the frankincense. And now, like everyone, Vekomates, and you take a Komates of the flour and the frankincense, Umakter, and you burn it on the Mizbeach. Vahashar, and the remainder of this Isaron, Nechol HaKohanim, the Kohanim, eat it, Kishi Yorei, Kol HaMenachos, like all other Mincha offerings. The Amasai Komates, and so, and when do you make the Komates? When, that's the real official offering, just like parallel, just like you take an animal and you shecht an animal. So parallel to that is taking the Komates off of the flower, as it were. So that's the real avoda.
How much is
a
Komate?
Komates, la'acher shemakrivin musaf. After you brought the korban musaf, remember, you started with the korban tamid every day. Then we've got the korban musaf for shvuas, because shvuas needs its own korban musaf. Now we're bringing the minchas omer offering, and you're waving it, and you're doing all that. You're bringing it all after the musaf offering. Now we've got to read the next line carefully.
Carefully. Okay.
There's one more thing that has to be brought. What has to be brought? What has to be brought? There's a korban that goes with this offering.
Yes, a goat.
One ola, a keves. One more sheep goes with the minchas ha'omer.
Right.
So when are we going to bring that? That's next. The keves ha'ola and the goat, the ram,
the sheep
that goes for this ola with this. What do you call it? Mincha? It's kodem. It's prior to what? The tamid shel ben arba'im, the afternoon tamid. Because there were no other korbanos.
That's it.
Well,
it's a musaf. We did the musaf.
Yes, this is in terms of the communal offerings. Certainly, this is the first day of Chol Hamoed. Individuals could bring their korban chagigas, their olas re'iyas, all that.
Okay.
We're not concerned with that. We're just looking at the public nature of the korbanos. So it didn't necessarily have to be right before the korban tamid shel ben arba'im, because a lot of people have to want to bring all their korbanos. Remember, the korban ola shel ben arba'im is the last korban. So notwithstanding any private korbanos, we're not concerned with that right now. But in terms of the public korbanos, that's the order of the day.
So I thought there are certain korbanos there, because this is Pesach now. We're in the middle of Pesach. There's a lot of restrictions going on with Pesach from chametz. So thing is...
But you know what? In the Beis HaMikdash, you have a lot of restrictions on chametz all the time. Most of the menachos are matzahs.
But you can't give a toda offering. No toda is coming.
So don't bring a toda. You bring a shalmei, a korban shlomim for yontif.
Okay.
A Olas Ria.
Yeah.
And a Shalm, a Shlomim for the Yontif too. Those are Yontif Korbanos. The Yontif Korbanos, you have to bring them.
So you don't bring your own flour, though. You get them to bring the flour?
Whatever. I'm not worried about those details. We can get any kashrus organization to give supervision. Okay? But the main thing is, whenever you go three times a year to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't come empty-handed. You bring Olos or Shlomim.
100%.
And not every Shlomim is a Toda.
100%.
So that's what you have to bring.
I'm just worried about the Mincha offerings in general.
Most of the Menachas were matzahs.
But this wasn't. Like this was not matzahs. This wasn't matzahs. Now, what are they going
to
do with the flour?
What are you talking about? This has to be a matzah. It's on Pesach.
No. I'm talking about they're giving flour. They're just giving flour here.
So you know what? There's nothing wrong with making matzahs on Pesach. Okay. Just because people are getting competent now and they don't are afraid to make matzahs. What did they do forever on Pesach? They with no refrigerator. They made every day their matzahs. You're getting used, spoiled. Yeah, we have to make all the matzahs for Pesach. Can't make any matzahs on Pesach. How do they eat for 8 days and didn't make matzahs on Pesach?
They're the Sobeys.
Right? They're making all the time matzahs. What's it about? That's a mitzvah every day. You have it finished. You make a matzah. They had storage bins to put 20 boxes of matzahs in their house. They didn't have room to even sleep. So they made it then. Okay, we're finished the korbanic aspect of the holiday of Pesach,
okay,
which now segues beautifully in Halacha Yud Gimel to the laws of Chadosh, because the whole point of bringing the Minchas HaOmer was that all new grains of the coming year were forbidden to eat them, their Chadosh, their new grain, until this Minchas HaOmer was brought on the second day of Pesach. And after the second day of Pesach, now everyone can partake of all the grains of the new season.
Is that where you get Yashan from?
Yes. So you have to wait till the Korban was brought, and now the Chodesh is Yashan, and now it's old. So now we are taught the laws of Chodesh. Now there's a very interesting law in Eretz Yisrael that many are not familiar. Besides eating the new grain before this, there's another restriction in Eretz Yisrael of even harvesting grain in Eretz Yisrael. Aser liktzor be'Eretz Yisrael min mechameshes min etfua kodem k'tziras ha'omer. It's forbidden to harvest in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone, not, it's biblical, right?
Well, it might be offense, you might come to eat it.
Well, whatever. It's you cannot do it. Anything from the five grains, kodem, litzirus, omer. It's a bill because it says it's shenemer. It says reishis kitzirchem. This omer is the first of your harvesting. The Torah says the first of your harvesting means the first is what you harvest that night before those grains of barley. So nothing else can be harvested. Shehetchilo l'kol niktzarim. This minchas omer has to be the first of all the things that I'm harvesting. However, there are certain exclusions to this. But clearly, Chutz La'aretz has no problem. It's totally permitted because you can't bring the grains from Chutz La'aretz. In other words, the Torah is saying, the very first, we have to bring a Minchas Omer on the second of Pesach. It has to be the first thing.
Reishis.
And it has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael. So only things that could have theoretically bought from Eretz Yisrael are prohibited to harvest before this is harvested. Since we're not going to harvest from Chutz La'aretz to be part of the Minchas HaOmer, so therefore Chutz La'aretz is totally excluded from the prohibition, and you can harvest away. There's no issue with harvesting there.
If the wheat is ready to be harvested in September, it just stays there until...
Yes, you have a major problem. Yes, exactly.
Because when was the wheat harvest?
Therefore, my friend, you're not going to plant at certain times of the year, because you know you're not going to be able to do anything.
Sure.
You're right, exactly. It's a major problem in Eretz Yisrael.
But if you
are planting wheats in the winter, so it's going to be harvested after Pesach.
Right.
That's the only one. You're not going to do a summer crop.
Wasn't that the
crop.
Book of Ruth? Wasn't that the
you're not going to do a summer crop, because that summer crop that's ready to be harvested sometime in the late summer or early fall, you're not going to be able to harvest it till Pesach the next year. So guess what? You're not going to grow it at that time of the year. That's what's coming out. Now, but there are certain exclusions to this rule. Remember, anything that could not possibly be used for the Minchas HaOmer will not be included in this prohibition. So just like Chutzlarts is completely not included in this prohibition, some parts of Eretz Yisrael will not be included in this prohibition, because certain parts you wouldn't bring the barley at all as well. As you recall, we said, want to bring the choices that are just south of Yerushalayim, if you recall. Therefore, Bamed, Varmim, Warim, when do we say you can't harvest certain grains in Eretz Yisrael, Bikotzir, Sheroy, Lovim, and Omer, from a harvesting that it would be fitting to bring for an Omer? Avol Beis HaShlochi, but a field that needs irrigation, Sheba Mokim, that's in the valleys, which don't have naturally enough rainfall, and there won't be the highest quality of grains, they'll never be brought as this Minchas HaOmer. Hovein Royal HaVimena, since you can't bring it for that, Kotsin Alsom Lifnei HaOmer, you may cut them down before the Omer. Avolo Yigdosh, but don't stack them up as a pile. Because once you're going to stack them up as a pile, then you may go ahead and start doing other things as well. And that would be very, you could do other transgressions from that. So therefore, we can only do that. So but that's only an issue in Eretz Yisrael.
It applies today?
Well, that's a big machlokes. The pashat pshat is it applies everywhere. Only the Bach had a major kula because there was such great poverty amongst the Jews. Because the Bach is the only lone lenient shita that was relied on during ages of poverty. That Bach seems to be relied on by many still till today, but it's not the optimal way to do things.
This is a singular opinion.
Okay. But this is only barley. We're not talking about wheat.
No,
right?
It's all five grains. Look at the beginning of Yud Gimel. It said you can't harvest any of the five grains. That was just in terms of harvesting. We've got to also understand, well, what about eating? Well, obviously, if you can't harvest it, it's hard to eat it, right?
We say it's hard to eat it.
So now, Yud Dalid, I'm sorry, yes. Now we're going to get the rule here. Here's the rule. What does it mean before? What constitutes something that was planted? So obviously, this thing's got to be planted before Pesach. It's got to reach a certain level before Pesach that now the barley will exempt it. So what is the qualification? Tfua shehi shrisha, grain that has rooted. It's been planted and rooted. Kodem HaOmer, before the Omer offering was brought, that is what HaOmer Matira. The Omer offering will now release it, and you can now harvest it and eat it. Okay?
So it's 14 days.
So the commentary say it takes 14 days for it to root. Yes. So you've got to plant it at least 14 days before the second day of Pesach.
Right.
Now it's a machlokas. Is it when you harvested it or when you brought the Omer? There's a machlokas, it'd be a 12-hour difference.
Yeah.
You're harvesting the night of the 16th.
Right.
You're waving it the day of the 16th. So the 14 days backwards, it could be 14 and a half days.
Right.
Either way, but anything you're planting months before, right? I don't know the gestation period of wheat. I know I'm making a
60
joke.
Days.
How 60 long does wheat take to grow from seedling to
right
full
now,
growth?
I'm from the prairie provinces.
Whatever. So you would probably want to plant it in a way that shortly
after Pesach.
So let's say it's 3 months from planting. And you know that Pesach is, let's say, April 15th is the first day of Pesach. So you want to plant it sometime around after January 15th.
Yeah.
So that 3 months later, it's ready to go. And it's been rooted clearly before Pesach. It's ready to be harvested sometime after Pesach. And that's how the planting would go. All right? So they would, you know, they'd plow the fields in October and November, wait for rains to come, whatever. So those are the kinds of things. So that's ideally how you'd like this to happen.
But if you just geography-wise are far enough away from the base of Mingus, you don't have to worry, right?
Well, he did not say that.
But you wouldn't take the Minchas.
He only talked about harvesting. He didn't say about eating.
Right. But you wouldn't take the harvesting. From
only
the
harvesting. This is not a law of eating. A law of harvesting. Is only in Eretz Yisrael is the exclusion. The law of eating has had no exclusions anywhere.
Worldwide.
But I was talking about the geography. You said you take the...
Anywhere in the world, you can't eat what has rooted after Pesach. Pesach until the next year. You got to wait till this barley offering is brought.
Well, that's not the question. The issue I was talking about is you said you can't take it if it's too far away
from Israel.
In Israel itself.
Howard, you're not paying attention.
What?
That's only regarding the harvesting. There's two separate issues. There's an issue of harvesting. There's an issue of eating. Eating is irrespective of how you could bring it or not. Okay, so that's what he's saying now. Any grain that it was rooted 14 days before the Minchas Omer will permit it. The Imlav, if it has not rooted for 14 days, then Aser Lakotzro, you can't harvest it at all, and certainly you couldn't eat it. Kederach She'Aser LaOchlo, just like you can't eat it. Achiyava Omer Abba, like the next Omer. So if you planted it 5 days before Pesach, it hasn't rooted before, it's nice and rooted, it's ready to be harvested sometime in July, let's say, you're going to let it sit till next Pesach, effectively means you're out of the money. Now, there'll be other things you can do it, but you cannot use it for harvesting for eating, and therefore a smart farmer won't plant it then. That's the halacha.
If you're a Jew. If you're a non-Jew, you can do whatever you want to do.
If you're a non-Jew, you don't got to worry about it.
It's Shemitah, too.
All right. Good. It's clear? So that's clear. Now, let's take it a step further now. But there are certain things. This is only harvesting in which eating of humanoids will take place. You may harvest grains for other purposes altogether, which would be permitted because it has nothing to do with eating. Right. Let's say, tesvav. Tvua shelo hevia shlish, grain that has not yet reached the final third of ripening, and therefore it's not fit for human consumption. You cannot eat this if you would harvest it. But guess who could eat it?
Animals.
And a lot of grain is used as animal fodder. So guess what? If you planted it pretty late in the winter, all you could do with it is animal fodder. Mutar liktzorvin, you may harvest it, lahachil behema, to feed it to an animal. And that's before even the Omer was brought. So even though it comes up afterwards, let's say you planted it very late in the spring, and you did it late in the spring, and now it's coming up, now what am I going to do with it? I can't do it for eating purposes, so now you can cut it down as animal fodder. Or let's say you have some saplings that are growing, and this grain is growing, and it's taking away the nourishment from the saplings. Now I want to harvest this grain so that the saplings can grow, and I'm not planning on eating it. I can cut that too. Also, they used to have, and sometimes houses of mournings, they'd want to have an open area to have the funeral and things like that, and they want to harvest some of the grain to have a nice open spread area over there. Olabesa Medrash, or place of learning, that's allowed. Why? Even though it's not for animal use, but it says it's a mitzvah use. And therefore it says it's reishis kitzir chem. You're harvesting for your personal use. But velo liktzir mitzvah, we're not excluding mitzvah harvesting. So if you're harvesting in the mitzvah, you can do. So bekitzer, these things that are rooting too late can be harvested if they're for non-human eating or for other mitzvah purposes. A smart farmer will not plant his stuff in Eretz Yisrael, clearly not at that time. Now, even though we just said these are exceptions and they may be harvested, but still in all, tesayin, vavabisha mutar litzim, they can harvest them. Lo yasas on krichos, don't make them regular big bundles, kederach akrotzim, like the harvesters. El yanichayim, tzvasim, tzvasim, make them small bundles. I guess so we won't mistaken them as big bundles, and big bundles would require, people might mistakenly think that they would eat it.
Yeah, but these aren't the edibles.
Okay, let's stop it over here. Okay, shkoyach. Soon we're